So back in 2012, I spent every waking hour at the masjid. I mean, I spent days, weeks, weekends, morning, afternoon, night. So much so, my mother was pissed. She was pissed because who spends every hour and every moment at the masjid? More than they do at home. More than I even did at school. But I was so hooked on learning my religion. And because I didn't know much, right? I knew I needed this environment. I knew I needed the people in the masjid to teach me something. And because I was also very shy and I knew I didn't want to just ask somebody to be my teacher, I relied on the environment and the people in there that had, you know, something to tell me, or they were just practicing their religion and I was just studying that practice. I remember the moment I met Hilal. She had this bubbly aura. She was very inviting. She walked in. She seemed like she knew everyone there. And it's interesting because I knew everyone that came in and came out of that masjid. I remember people used to even call me a welcome doormat, actually, because people always found me at the front of the masjid welcoming people in. And what stood out about me about her was that she was smiling. She was talking to everyone, walking around, salam. Like, she knew every being in that room. But I've never seen her before. She gave me this impression that she too belonged here, even if I didn't recognize her. And I admired that about her. I think for a long time, I was kind of intimidated by my environment. I almost felt excluded. And she came in here new and was, you know, comfortable. And then I wondered to myself, I wonder what her story is.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Hilal. I'm a 26-year-old Toronto girl, living her life. I'm a plant lover, tea lover, and I like taking hikes. I'm a nature lover, and I am a student of life. I really believe before 18, I was just living life, just on the vibe. Just came out of high school, confused, I could say. I remember I really wanted to be a gynecologist. And a lot of people didn't know this. I really loved, you know, babies. Growing up in Toronto, you know, born and raised in Dixon. The life that I grew up in was, I wouldn't say difficult. Alhamdulillah, I came from a very good family, very good parents, raised in a very dominant Somali community. But surprisingly, Islam was never really a part of my, you know, growing up, you could say. My family, you know, was very strict on terms of your studies, your secular studies, having good morals. But this whole thing of practicing, praying, wearing hijab, it was so foreign to me.
So Hilal in grade 7, just as most middle schoolers at the time, started to act out. She started hanging out with the wrong crowd, coming home late, talking back. Just what people her age are doing. Her parents were really concerned because she wasn't taking school seriously. She had a bad attitude, and they were worried about the kind of woman she was going to become. So they thought, it's time to send Hilal away. Or not away, but it's time for Hilal to move. You're probably thinking, oh, what did they send her? To Africa? Kenya, maybe? Somalia? Mozambique? Nah, they sent Hilal to Brampton, a suburban area.
Honestly, Brampton was a culture shock for me. Imagine going from Somalis, a dominated Somali community, to moving to only having like 2 Somali people in your whole neighborhood. Everybody else was so diverse in different cultures and different religions. I never had a practicing friend when I moved to, or somebody who was practicing Islam when I moved to Brampton. Most of my friends that I was with when I moved to Brampton were either atheists, you know, Catholics. I remember we lived across a masjid in Brampton. And I remember I would see people walking there on a Friday. And I remember coming back from school at 3 p.m. And you know how the Jum'ah sometimes has 2 khutbas. And I would see people walking with hijab and the men with the khamis and their children. And I would be like, I went home and I was like, you know, Dad, what is this? And he was like, oh, this is where people go on Fridays to pray as Muslims. This is what we do. And I remember I would be fascinated, but it was a thought.
Everyone has a moment in his or her life that changes everything. The moment may be good, bad, big, small, scary, or calming. It could be the birth of a child, the death of a father, death of a marriage. Any moment can become a life-changing moment. Hilal had one of those moments.
I remember this day like it was yesterday. SubhanAllah. You know, some days you don't remember. It was so long ago. But that day was so vivid, Adar. I felt like it happened yesterday. I remember, you know, a couple of us coming back from downtown. You know what friends do? Just chill, go eat, enjoy life. And I remember going on Twitter. You know, Twitter back then was different than Twitter now. And I remember seeing everybody tweeting about someone passing away. My phone died. I remember that. My phone died. And a friend in the car was like, we have to go to our friend's house. And I was like, why? Well, I'm supposed to be going home. I was confused. And I remember Adar reaching my friend's house and seeing cars parked outside, seeing everybody in the house. And I remember thinking, what's going on? And when I got to the house, it was informed that she passed away. And she was actually the younger sister of my friend. So I was closer to her sister. And I remember being so confused, Adar, because I just seen her the week prior to that. And it was the first person that I knew that passed away at a young age. Death to me wasn't something new. My grandfather, Allah yarham, who passed away. And I've had family members who were elderly that passed away. But I've never had somebody who was young, you know, who was healthy, who was living life just like me, you know, and passed away so suddenly. I remember sitting in my friend's house and everybody's just crying, Adar, you know, sad that she passed away. But I was not only sad and feeling pain of her passing, but confused. I remember sitting in that house and feeling fear. Like, okay, this life is really going to end.
Death wasn't new to Hilal. Her grandfather had passed away when she was a little girl. Except then, she didn't have to pray or know what to do. But this time, as an adult, Hilal was expected to know how to pray. She was expected to know how to pray for her friend. But she didn't know how.
There was an auntie that was praying beside me. And I remember I said to her, so how do I pray this? And she looked at me so confused, Adar, like she was so shocked I was asking her that question. She was like, Habir, you don't know how to pray the janazah prayer. And she's like, is this your friend? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, okay, at least just say Allahu Akbar and just make dua for her, she told me. Just make prayer for her. Inshallah, Allah will accept it. So I did that. I just went into prayer and I just copied what everybody else was doing. And I remember staying in the masjid Adar until Isha that night. Till the night, I couldn't even move because I was like, I don't even know how to pray. I call myself Muslim, but I can't even pray for my friend the correct way. Going home, I remember sleepless nights Adar and my first encounter with anxiety. So prior to this, I never had any type of symptom of anxiety or like I would get stressed normally. But it was just normal. I would just deal with stress and just live my life. But I remember I couldn't sleep, Adar. I remember fearing that I would die in my sleep. I remember I would sometimes feel like I would be choking, like, in my sleep. I remember sometimes I couldn't breathe and I would go to the hospital and be like to my mom, like, you know, please, I need to go to the hospital. I'm not feeling well. I feel like I'm passing away. Literally, Adar, I know this sounds crazy, but it was so scary. And I remember the doctors telling me, you're fine. You just have anxiety. And my parents were shocked because they never knew that that this would affect me so greatly. And I remember there was nights out that I didn't leave my room, didn't eat food, just sitting in my thoughts, just thinking to myself, what to do next? And I remember going on Google. Sheikh Google is my friend. Sheikh Google played a great part in helping me, but I remember Adar, subhanAllah, typing what to do if you fear death in Islam. I remember typing that.
Have you ever felt like you couldn't ask anybody anything and so instead you go to Google? I know people do this every time they get a symptom that they don't know until they think, Google, am I dying from cancer? Right? It's always the wrong thing to do. They always tell you, do not Google. But at this time, Google for Hilal was not just for answers, but for guidance. Google became Sheikh Google. Sometimes it's just easier to ask Google. Google doesn't have judgment. He doesn't shame you. He doesn't belittle you, right? You could ask your question and go. But the people in our community is that they come with these preconceived notions that someone at your adult age who doesn't know, there's something wrong with them. They're ignorant. They're irresponsible. They're bad. And that the only person that could be without knowledge is a child or a revert.
I was too scared to ask anyone because I was scared that I would get the same reaction that Auntie gave me in the masjid. So I Google really helped me. I remember saying, you know, you have to pray your 5 salawats. And I was like, 5 prayers a day? Okay. What are they called? I didn't even know how to start the prayer. I didn't even know if you had to do something before the prayer, which was now wudu that we know. And then telling, you know, and then I started Googling other things like, okay, is hijab compulsory for women? I didn't even know that. So I remember Googling and Islam community again. You know, yes, the Muslim woman is, you know, told by Allah SWT to cover herself. So then now I went and Googled how to cover yourself as a Muslim woman. It was literally adhar. I had my little Harvard library in my room, just going through it, different sites, just figuring out what to do next. And then I said to myself, okay, first step, prayer. Because that's what the link told me. So I went and started to learn how to pray. And then the next thing was like, oh, make sure you go to the places of worship. So I remember going to my father, and wallahi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless my father. He was so supportive, Adar. I remember going to him feeling scared, and I'll tell him, please, can you take me to the masjid?
Sheikh Google told Hilal that she needed to go to the places of worship. She needed to go to the masjid. And so Hilal did, even if that meant lying. Hilal had night school in Toronto, and she lived in Brampton. Now, if anybody knows where Brampton is, it's a city outside of Toronto. It's kind of a little bit of a travel.
And I remember telling my dad, you know, can you drop me off to night school? And he would be like, yeah, sure. So he would drop me and then go back to work. And I remember I would leave night school to go to the masjid. And my parents never knew. I remember like a little sneaking. I was sneaking out every single day, Adar. I was supposed to be in class, but you catch me at Khalb only.
Bolted up.
And I remember I would wait till their car leaves. And then I would wear the hijab and I would keep the skirt and stuff in my bag because, you know, I was scared that my parents would like, I knew they wouldn't be angry with me, but I was scared that the change would be too quick for them.
Yeah, because at the time, do you remember it was like a whole thing about, you know, kids being...
Shipped over.
Yeah. Manipulated online.
Exactly.
You know, all that stuff. Extremism, all that stuff. So our parents were worried that's what was happening to us through the internet.
And my parents are very educated at that. You know, they're not the type of Somali parents that don't know English. Mm-hmm. My dad was born and raised in Somalia, but grew up in a boarding school in Germany. You know, he went to the best schools. Very educated man. You couldn't blame my father. So I remember I would be hiding from them because I know school to them was so serious, and already me having to upgrade my credits was already enough pressure on them. So I remember I would go, hide it from them, walk to the masjid, stay there until like maybe like Isha time, and then run back to night school in the front so they could pick me up. Yep.
No, you didn't.
Yep. And I remember walking, you know that walk from Tim Hortons,
we call the walk of shame.
Yeah, because Abdinur was right there,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
At the old Abdinur, I used to go there. So I remember I used to hide, come back, wait for them in the parking lot of Abdinur. And they would think I was there the whole day.
And the school never said your child was in here the entire time?
They never called. I don't know, subhanAllah, maybe it was Allah subhanAllah. Of course it was Allah subhanAllah wa ta'ala, yeah. But I remember coming to the car, how's school? Alhamdulillah. You know? I prayed today.
Yeah.
Normal conversation. Yeah. Okay, did you do your homework? Yeah. And in my stomach, I'm like, oh my God, I hope they don't find out.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed to do it, Adar. I needed because I felt so sick. And then this fear was just overtaking me. And the time that I was in the masjid, I would feel so much peace. So much peace. I would go there, honestly, Adar, because I loved the recitation of the Quran. You know, I never really grew up listening to the Quran. So when I went to the masjid and hearing the sheikh leading the salah, I didn't know what he was saying. I just knew it sounded nice. And when I would hear it, I would feel good. I would feel peace in the heart. So that feeling made me keep coming back over and over and over again. The fear that I would feel in the house and outside, it was taking the minute I would come into the masjid. So I felt like it was a safe place. And the reason why I wanted to keep going back there, because I thought it was my cure. I was like, if I stay here, I don't feel the pain. I don't feel the anxiety. So I need to stay here. So when I would go to the masjid, you know, some people would come and read the Quran in the musalla. People would be praying. And I remember opening the mushaf and seeing the Arabic. And I was like, whoa, this is interesting. Like, it's new to me. And I remember I would go, Sheikh Google again, Professor Google. And I would be like, okay, how do you learn the Arabic language? And I'll go on the YouTube and it would be like, okay, you have to start with the alif, the ba. And I would like look for these words in the Quran. So I would spend like hours there just looking for the alif and the ba and the ta, because I couldn't read. And I remember thinking to myself, I want to learn this book. I remember being in the salah and, you know, the sheikh recites Surah Fatiha. I would try to recite with him every day to hopefully start memorizing it day by day.
So the person leading salah was your teacher?
Was my teacher.
I'm actually dead.
And I remember the people praying. You know how after the sheikh says the Fatiha, yeah, everybody says it after. And I would be quiet.
Wow.
I would hear it under like everyone's breath. And I couldn't do it. I was like, oh,
yeah.
I need to, like, how come I can't do this? And it started becoming more from like just being happy being there to frustration. Frustration, Adar. I remember every day listening to the Quran saying, this feels so good. How do I learn this book? How do I learn these words? They're so beautiful. And that's when I finally said, no, I need to learn this. I need to find a teacher. So in the masjid is where I asked somebody, hey, I know the sheikh that recites, and I wanted him. Because he taught me Fatiha already, like, 3 verses. Might as well continue.
Stick so, to your teacher.
And I remember saying, I want him. I want exactly him. Adar.
It was the sheikh, though.
It was Ma'ala Muhammad.
Allah.
Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Ameen. He played a great role in my journey to the Quran.
He's a beautiful reciter.
Beautiful. Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him.
Hilal tries to read the Quran by herself. Arabic was hard. It's confusing. But she thought it was beautiful. So she sought out to find a teacher. She went out and found a sister at the masjid that knew Ma'al Muhammad. And she said, hey, I can take you there. So she takes her all the way upstairs, second floor. And she says, this is his classroom.
Adar, I thought the class would be, you know, elders or mixed group of age, you know. I come in. No one's older than 12.
My...
And then I thought I walked into a kindergarten class.
Subhanallah.
I remember coming in and I'm thinking, sis, do you see me? And because she was in another class, yeah, but I wanted him, right? So she's like, you wanted him. So he's the teacher for the kids. I'm thinking, oh, okay, shoot. And then she just left me. At this point, she thought, this girl's asking too much questions. Let me leave her. So I remember looking in the classroom. He's sitting in the front. The kids are coming one by one with their kitabs or their books. And I remember feeling like, oh my God, I have to walk in front of all these children. So nervous. I never, ever was scared of children prior to this.
It was an intimidating atmosphere.
So intimidating. They were reading so loud. I remember them just reading the Quran so loud. And I'm thinking, there's a 6-year-old that can recite the Quran and I can't. This is so embarrassing. You know, kids are very straight. They don't hide, you know? They're so innocent. Some of them will come to me and be like, how old are you? Are you not like 30, 40 year old? Like, so why are you learning it now? Like, and Ma'al Muhammad, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his ranks. He honestly motivated me every single day. Whenever I would come to him and be like, okay, so can I come another time when the kids are not here? And he would tell me, it's through this experience that you will learn how to be a good student of the Quran. Because the Quran, it demands humbleness. It demands you to lower yourself for it. So if you're able to learn in a class full of children, you will be able to conquer anything.
Hilal decides to commit to learning the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. her commitment to learn was bigger than the humiliation of being in a classroom full of kids. She knew that she needed to get over this hump if she was serious. But Hilal didn't know anybody outside of that classroom, right? She didn't know the friend groups, you know, she didn't know the cliques, she didn't know anything outside the masjid besides her class. And she didn't really necessarily fit the stereotypical type of a religious person.
I'm just naturally bubbly. I'm just, as you said, like, I'll really speak to the stranger on the street. That's how it was as a kid even. My parents used to be so scared to just take me out sometimes because they might lose me.
But the practicing model at the time was introverted.
Introverted, quiet, mm-hmm. being, that was modesty.
Yeah, it's small, nobody knew you.
No one knew you.
Wore black.
Yeah.
Had very small group of friends, right?
Very small, and also not somebody who was very open.
Yeah,
because I would come and be like, "Assalamu alaikum, yeah. How are you?" And they would look at me like, "Who is this girl? Does she not get the motive?
Yeah.
Of how this masjid works?
Yeah, or not even the masjid, the culture.
Yeah, the practicing
it was everywhere.
Culture.
It was a practicing culture at the time. There was a way to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And,
exactly.
And it was hard because we all come in different personalities. And I'll say this, Hilal, that was my favorite thing about you, is that you had personality, that you were funny, you know. But I know that you felt that the push to be molded into a way,
yeah.
You know, because I felt that way, right?
Yeah.
Many people, you know, criticized like how I would, you know, do things and stuff like that. And even though they were completely okay, it just wasn't the archetype.
Yep.
And I remember when I saw you, that's why you reminded me of me. I was like, oh my gosh, you're just like me.
That's why I liked you too. Because I remember seeing you and I was like, this girl's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one that talks here.
Or like, it's just open and friendly and like, and that's just who we are. And there's nothing wrong with, again, being introverted or, there's nothing wrong. The only issue is when that's your singular archetype.
Exactly.
And then you disinclude everybody else, right?
Exactly.
That was the only issue.
And that's what I loved about you, because I would come to the masjid and see you too, and you would salami,
mm-hmm.
and you would be so bubbly yourself. And I remember, wallahi, there was times that I didn't want to come to the masjid because I would feel so uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
because I felt like I didn't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why I had to mention these sisters, because they would bring me.
Yeah.
They would stay with me.
Yeah.
They would, you know, never criticize my character,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially these two. Mm-hmm. I remember when nobody wanted to, like, guess be the cool kid, you know? Yeah. They would come in and be like, don't worry, you can come out and eat with us.
Yeah.
You can come chill with us.
Yeah.
And I was the underdog.
Yeah.
Literally just coming in as the underdog.
You were absolutely the underdog.
Because these sisters were here for years. Mm-hmm. You know, I was always intimidated by the older sisters. Not saying that they weren't nice or anything, but it was just hard to approach them. Because I felt like my personality sometimes was overbearing. And I was scared that they might, like, not want to be around me. And I remember that I started changing my personality. Because I really wanted to be in the practicing community. I really wanted to be with sisters that reminded me of Allah.
I wanted to fit. I wanted to fit in.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that I could have personality.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that once you start practicing, you gotta be
the part of the ukhti crew.
Dry.
Yeah, dry.
No seasoning on the food. You're lucky if you get salt and pepper.
Wallahi, literally. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because it was that's what was cool back then.
It was,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I felt those pressures. Like, when you talk, you really are speaking to me, because I remember thinking like, oh my God, can I fit in this community? I feel like I stand out. You
know? Like, I love Allah.
Yeah.
I want to be here.
Yeah.
But like, can I fit here?
Yeah.
But then alhamdulillah, having those sisters that were patient with me, because they understood that I never really knew Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they would invite me to their house. Wallahi adhar, subhanAllah.
Yeah.
They would sometimes have sleepovers with me. You know, take their time out of their life to teach me things about Islam. Some of them will teach me the attahiyat of the prayer. Mm-hmm. Some of them will teach me what to say, how much different salahs. Like, even though Sheikh Google was my first teacher,
mm-hmm.
they played a role in, like, refining the knowledge I learned from Sheikh Google.
Yeah.
So I want to say, may Allah bless those sisters.
I mean,
they get a great ajr for where I am today, subhanAllah.
They were sisterly. That's the power of sisterhood, right?
Exactly.
When you treat them how you want to be treated. Right? And that's what they did in me. Allah bless
them. And not judge you, you know?
No.
And be patient with you.
And you can't, and that's the thing, that the masjid cannot be a place of judgment. People come from all walks of life, from all different backgrounds, from all different starting points, and all levels of iman. Right? And when people change that narrative is when it becomes extremely problematic. Right? Because imagine somebody comes in and then thinks, oh, because they're so late in the game, they don't belong, and they maybe should just stop, right? And I'm glad there were sisters there, because there were sisters there for me too. Because exactly. I had a similar...
I remember your group.
Yeah. I remember a similar experience, and they were very welcoming to me as well. And I had a sister that would talk to me privately about... Because she knew the depths of how much I didn't know. Mm-hmm. So she would explain to me the words like, Jazakallah khair. Mm-hmm. Barakallah fi. Like, I didn't know those words. And yeah. She would teach me the etiquettes of, like, responding when somebody sneezes. Mm-hmm. You know? Du'as are really important when you're walking in the masjid and all that. So, and it was nice because it was a private affair. And in some ways, she shaded me from being judged by people who didn't have the capabilities of being compassionate. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that don't have the capabilities to interact or to deal with people who are new. Mm-hmm. You know, and some people are like really good at it, and they're like mentors and teachers, and you know, and they understand.
And they're so important for our community.
They are extremely important. You yeah. know, and I think all of us should aspire as women, especially, to have that kind of relationship. And that kind of capacity to be, you know, like a teacher, because all of us are teachers in some place in our lives,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And shout out to those sisters.
Yeah, may Allah bless them.
I mean, 2 years had passed and Hilal finally mastered reading from the Kitab.
It was when I finished learning how to read it. And I remember the day that I finished the book, that it was bigger than any graduation I've ever been to in my life. It was the greatest accomplishment in my life. And it looks so small in a sense where it's like, this is usually what kids do, you know, at a younger age. But to me, it was so great, Adar, because I was finally able to open the Quran and read it. And I remember the day we finished, Madam Muhammad was like, okay, now it's time to start with the Mus'haf. And that was the Mus'haf. The first Mus'haf I opened and got me frustrated is now the one I'm going to go back to and find joy in. That's the moment I said, you know what? I think this is my calling. I think my calling is to learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was so slow at reading in the beginning. You know, when you first finish the book, the Arabic reading book, you're quite slow still. You know the letters, but you don't know how to connect it very well. So I would say for another maybe 7-8 months, I was just spending adhar on knowing how to read. And I remember one ayah would take me 45 minutes sometimes. Because I would make a mistake and have to go back. And it was frustrating sometimes. But then when I would get it, it was happiness. And it was at that moment I said, no, I need to perfect and I need to learn this book.
But things took a turn. Unfortunately, Ma'alim Muhammad had told her the news that he'd be going to Hajj and that he'd also be going to Somalia and that he would have to pause her studies. Hilal wasn't at the stage of her studies where she could learn alone. Hilal knew she needed a teacher. But then Hilal found a flyer that said there was a Qatar party at this masjid called Dar al-Hikmah to celebrate the students that had officially finished the Quran.
I remember there was flyers being passed around about a Quran Khatam party in the masjid, and it was going to be held at IMO. And the place was called Dar al-Hikmah, and it was like a nice flyer. And it had the names of the students that finished the Quran. And I was like, whoa, I need to go to this. This seems cool. So I remember the week Ma'am Muhammad left, it was the week that was happening. SubhanAllah, that I remember when he left, I made dua. I said, oh Allah, I want to continue learning your book. Please make a way for me. And then I seen that flyer for the Khatam party. Right? And I went. I didn't know anybody. I knew some of the sisters I met in the masjid from Khalid, but I didn't know any of the Dar al-Hikmah sisters. And Adar, that was the most amazing experience ever. I've ever been through.
People used to go to the Qatam party just to be inspired.
Yeah.
Because you saw all these kids who had this incredible recitation and just...
Good tajweed.
Tajweed was fire. And they were just... savage. Like, they were, like, he looked like he was preparing these kids for the Olympics, but just the Quran version. And some of us would come to the Qatar party with no business being there, okay? Mm. With a different duksi we used to go to at wherever we went to, mm-hmm. and we'd be like, okay, I'm gonna go to the Qatar party to get motivated to finish the Quran. Like, people would come just to get, like, you know how you would go to your favorite YouTube video, the merciful servant, to get that Iman boost?
Yeah.
People used to go to, Hikmah to get that Quran. Finish boost.
Exactly.
Yo, you're going to finish this. Like, you would go to Khatam. Wallahi, I remember you went to the Khatam one time. Yeah, bro, I met Surah Jin, yeah? Okay? I went to the Qatar party. Why was I trying to memorize Surah Maryam? I said, maybe if I get to Maryam. I went to Dukan. I said, let me go to Dukan. No, I even thought about, let me start from Baqarah.
I need,
you know,
to
some
get,
people start
I
from Baqarah or some people start from Nas.
Yeah,
I was starting from Nas up. I said, let me go to Baqarah. Yo, what is this? I need to go to Baqarah. These people are doing, you know what I mean?
They're at a different level.
You just felt like you can and you will. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what the vibes were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there were parents and they were proud of their kids. Exactly. Like they put them at that gymnastics class that was going to take them to the Olympics. They dropped them off in there. And they're like, you know, parents are so competitive. Like, my kids go come out of here a champion. Wallahi, the day of the Qatar party, parents stood up like they were waiting a national anthem.
Yes,
looking at their kids saying, yep.
That's my child.
That's my child.
Yep.
You know, and the kids had that kind of fire. And then you see Shuk nodding his head, you know, acting like it was a regular Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? But I remember that. And you came to the Qatar party and you said, I have to join this Duxie. This needs to be me.
I'm like, what is this place? I remember walking in, everybody wearing black jilbabs. The students wearing, the girls wearing brown jilbabs. They had name tags. It was so organized. I remember seeing the sheikh with the big imam, you know, with the Saudi style, sitting there. And I remember his presence just would put, like, who is he? Like, I remember looking at him and thinking, who is this sheikh? And what are these students? And hearing them recite the Quran and how good they were, Adar. Subhanallah, I remember thinking, this is what I need to be. I've learned how to read, but I'm not at this level yet. So now that I've passed the other level, I need to get to this level now.
Hilal was persistent in joining this Duxi, this madrasa. And she knew that she had to prove herself.
And she was like, you know, you have to be patient because he might not respond to you. And I remember thinking, so what do I do? She's like, just come, just show up, say you're interested and wait. And I'm thinking, okay, Madam Hamid, he's trained me to be patient. He's put me through some tests. I can handle this. I did not know what was in store for me, Adar. God bless Madam Hamid, because he was way, I'm not going to say that my sheikh is strict. I don't like to compare my teachers because they teach in different ways. But in regards to like testing you and testing your patience, I have never been tested like this, Adar. I remember coming to the masjid and asking for him. And he said, yeah, okay, I'll come to her. Tell her to wait. And I would wait till Aisha. And I remember my dad was so frustrated because he was waiting outside for me. He was like, what's going on? Like, you've been here the whole day. And then he told me, come back tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow, you know? And there's a door that connects the brother and sister's place. So I would knock every salon and be like, the sheikh's busy. The sheikh is speaking to somebody. The sheikh will be with you soon. And it was like 1 day passed. 2 days passed. 3 days passed. And then it wasn't only for Fajr to Isha. The weekday was like, okay, come at Duhur. Okay, come at Asr. Different times, Adar. Nothing stagnant. It was just, come this time. And then he wouldn't see you. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, maybe this is not written for me. So I remember going in the car. My dad, may Allah bless him, would come from work, Adar, and pick me up after Isha. And I would come in the car. He'd be like, okay, so did you see him today? I'm like, no, Abba, I didn't see him today. And my dad got fed up one day. He said, you've been waiting for how many weeks now? My dad got out the car and went inside. And he said, I'm going to speak to him for you. And I said, Abba, no, you're going to ruin my chance. I remember thinking, what if you see something that's wrong? He said, listen, this is a slave of Allah. Why are we scared of him? He got up, he went into the masjid, and he said, I'll speak to him. And when he went to him, I just remember my dad coming back and saying, you have an interview tomorrow. And I was like, really? And I was like, but what if he's going to test me again, you know? Because he told me to come back. But I was like, no, this is confirmed. So I came the next morning. It was a weekend Quran class again. And he finally seen me, alhamdulillah. I remember when he tested me, he literally looked at me. He said, you're starting right from the bottom. And I remember he would teach me personally, and then he also gave me some of his teachers. So some habibis, mashallah, that were teachers there that helped me too. And a year and a half, Adar, I remember Surah Fatiha struggled. And I remember he was like, you can't listen to nobody but Khalil al-Husri, you know, and he was like, nobody else. So every day I would come home listening to the same verses, trying to memorize it.
Just to give some preface, you know, hikmah is very serious. I heard people were in Surah Fatiha for
six months. Yeah.
You know, like he was very serious about the pronunciation, he was very serious about all of its mechanics in order to read it properly.
Exactly.
And given its haq. And you spent, you know, how many years at Darul Hikmah?
I would say three.
3 years, yeah.
Yeah, 3 years.
3 years you were going ham. You spent there, you would put in hours, you came in Fajr, you would leave at Isha. That was your school.
Literally. Yeah. And you know what's so funny was that I had to like talk to my parents, because I remember I was going to night school, and then they were thinking like, okay, so you've been skipping, now they've realized.
Yeah.
Now you're starting to go to this Quran school. And I remember sitting with my parents and saying, I want to take time off school. And I just want to learn the Quran.
Mm.
And I remember being so scared, like, are they going to support me? And alhamdulillah, it was then that they finally decided, you know what, if this is what she want to do, we'll support her. You know,
yeah.
Alhamdulillah, I made a lot of dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened their hearts to accepting me going to the madrasa. And then I had to leave Hikmah because of the fact that my grandma moved in with me. And I couldn't handle the Hikmah times. So I joined the Duxie with you, with our ustad, the Ma'ana Aisha. And I remember I started memorizing with her. And mashallah, she got me pretty far. I think I memorized 10 juz with her. And then I got married in 2017. And life changed.
وأدخل الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها بإذن ربهم تحيتهم فيها سلام ألم تر كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون ومثل كلمة خبيثة كشجرة خبيثة اجتثت من فوق الأرض ما لها من قرار يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ويضل الله الظالمين ويفعل الله ما يشاء الله أكبر.
That recitation was Ma'alim Muhammad. His recitation is always so nostalgic and so powerful, mashallah, tabarakallah. This episode is brought to you by Beautiful Light Studios. I also like to thank the sponsors that donated to this episode. Thank you also very much. Without this, it wouldn't be possible. I also like to thank everybody that made this possible, including our sound engineer, Jonathan. he's dope and he gets a shout out because he's been actually extremely, extremely patient, especially for this episode. In the next episode, Hilal tells us about her new chapter called marriage, which eventually ended up in divorce, and how the Quran played a pivotal role in getting her through it.